Good morning. Lovely to be here again. I want to alleviate your fears. I'm not going to speak for very long. Okay. So hold me to it. If you think I'm going too long, you put your hands up and say, that's it, Barry. Cut. Look, just recently, my sister who lives in Canberra, she asked if she could come up and stay the night and so on. And so we went to one of our rooms in our house and we had to clear junk out and so on. And we made a fresh bed and all the sheets had to be clean, all that sort of stuff. And so when she came, you know, we said, look, we've got you this room upstairs. It's wonderful. Anyway, the tragedy was I saw her having great difficulty getting up the stairs, coming back down the stairs, and realised we'd made a terrible mistake. We should have given her a room downstairs. You can actually plan the best you can for, you know, events to come, and you sometimes make terrible mistakes. When God planned for the coming of his son, he made no mistakes whatsoever. And there was a very important person that should come into the world as a preparation for the coming of the Lord Jesus and his public ministry. And that fellow, of course, was the fellow born to those two characters, Elizabeth and Zechariah. Elizabeth, if you've got a name like that around, it's okay. Everyone knows about Elizabeth and Lizzie and Beth. I've actually got a Beth, and that's her real name and some, but it derives from Elizabeth. Zechariah, not many of our kids are ever called Zechariah. But there you go. Probably I'm going to assume that everyone's familiar pretty well with the story. They were pretty old. They weren't going to have any kids. They wanted to have kids. They'd been praying to God to have a child. It must be very hard for people who really want to have a child, and it just never comes to be. But nonetheless, God decided that, in fact, there would be a child born to this too, and God sent this extraordinary being, Gabriel, appeared in a very, very odd place, in a holy place where a person like Zechariah could only ever hope ever to be there, if at all, once in a lifetime, would he ever appear inside the temple in that place, the holy place. But lo and behold, it was his time to be there, and this angel, this Gabriel, appeared on the right-hand side. We're given explicit information about where he was on the right-hand side of the altar of incense. Probably means over towards the right. He didn't sort of sneak in through the back door or anything like that, or there wasn't a back door, but he didn't sneak in. There he was, suddenly this extraordinary figure. And understandably, Zechariah was absolutely filled with fear. He's quaking in his boots. What on earth's going on? How did this person get here? What is he? He doesn't look like an ordinary human being. Probably. We have all sorts of ideas about what angels might look like, but nonetheless, Zechariah was filled absolutely with fear. But he gets this. It always amazes me. You know, you get this business about, you know, someone was filled with fear, they were very afraid, and then the angel or someone else says, "Don't be afraid." You think, there's no way they're going to suddenly not be afraid. Of course, they're quaking in their boots. Anyway, this angel then tells what's going to happen. There's going to be a child born to him and Elizabeth. He doesn't believe. However, he's a bit concerned about this. As amazed as he is, Zechariah is not going to believe what this angel said about they're going to have a child, they're going to have a kid, but they're both pretty old. And because of his unbelief, the angel says, well, actually, you're not going to be able to speak again until, in fact, he's born. And that'll be your judgment. Terrible, because Zechariah was painted as a very godly man, a very upright man, a very obedient, as is his wife. Nonetheless, he does not speak again. Let's imagine when he's finished his day there, he's done his job and he's finished his service in the temple. People realize the man's dumb now, he can't speak. People outside, a crowd there that was there and so on. His wife realizes he can't speak. She may have said, well, that's a blessing, I don't know. Sorry, men, but it's often sometimes the other way around, isn't it? Anyway, look, let's imagine she's actually trying to work out what happened to you? What happened to you in there? I mean, what's going on? Why? Write it down. Don't just go use your arms like that. I can't follow everything you're indicating. And let's imagine she asked him these questions. So you're telling me we're going to have a kid, and I'm this old and you're that old. And you're absolutely confident. You think this was a visitor from God. Well, what are we going to call him? So he indicates, let's imagine, you see, what are we going to call him? And he indicates, well, his name's got to be called John. Why John? We don't have a relative called John. Why John? That's what, you know, he writes it down, that's what the angel said. Now, it was specific, John. And why? Because in Hebrew, the word John means something like God is kind. God is kind. Whew. So in the midst of all this terror, And being struck dumb, you're told that the child we're going to have is going to be somehow or other an indication of God's kindness. Let all the world know at this time of the year, Christians are thinking about the kindness of God. Well, another thing you'd like to know about the kid, you see, and sometimes people outside in the family or whatever ask, well, what is he going to be like? I mean, who's he going to take after? And imagine that she asked him some question like that. Well, would you give any idea what this kid's going to be like? Oh, yes, yes. And so he would write down some things like this. He's not going to be a drunkard. He's, in fact, not to have any wine or any beer. Okay, well, we can live with that. We're not teetotalers ourselves, but that's okay. He's actually going to be filled with... Now, strictly speaking, in the Greek, you wouldn't necessarily put the word "the" in, and although it's not uncommon not to have the word "the" in when normally you would have it in English, he would have written down something like, I think, he's going to be filled with a Holy Spirit. The idea of the Holy Spirit would have been completely unknown to Zechariah and to Elizabeth. That's a foreign notion which only came to have light shed upon it later on in the teaching of Jesus. So he's really going to be a very holy, God-orientated, God-filled man. Yes, 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 he's going to be like that. What else is he going to be like? Well, I was told, he writes it down, he's going to be like Elijah, the bloke, the fearsome man, the courageous man, the black and white man. My word, you don't sort of ask him questions a second time. He's going to be like that. He's going to be fearless. He'll be filled with the spirit and the power of Elijah. Wow. And what are people going to think of him? Well, the first thing is pretty obvious he would write down. You and I are going to be filled with joy. Why? He's going to be our heart's delight. That's what I was told. That's going to be the case. It's got to be the case. We'll be so overcome with joy. That's how we'll view things. And it'll turn out that in fact many, many people in our nation, they're going to look back when this baby grows up, they're going to look back and they're going to say, "Wow, thank God, he came into this world." Many will joy at his birth, meaning thank God, he's come into this world. And the angel also told me, God will regard him as great. God will see him as great. Wow. What's he going to do? Why is he going to be so great? And three times the notion of he will turn. He will turn many sons of Israel to the Lord their God. Right? And this is a strange phrase. He will turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. Surely that means something like to understand that this God who controls this world, runs this world, owns this world, brought this world into being, demands that there be a quality in human beings that we will give the characteristic phrase to righteousness. And if in this world we fail to understand the necessity of righteousness, we will fail to understand completely the place of God in the world and ourselves in the world. It has to do with righteousness. And those who are righteous have wisdom. And this man will turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. In the family world, where relationships are so important, dads will be more caring to their kids. And if he was to fill in what was said in Malachi, where the reference is made to, and kids will be... Their hearts will be turned to their dads and their mums, of course. Family relationships will be so much better off for the coming of this man. Well, perhaps the last question she might ask, why will he do these things? What's the big purpose? What's the overall picture, the big picture? And Zechariah could write down something like, well, he's God's preparatory man. He's getting things ready so that when the Lord comes, yes, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, quoting from Malachi, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, the judgment of God shall come, before that shall come, there'll be the Lord himself coming. And there you see, as the years roll by, John the Immerser, I hope you don't mind my calling him that because that actually is a decent translation, John the Immerser, is out there telling people to change, to turn, for there is one who is coming, greater than he, who shall indeed be the means by which God will forgive and his judgment will be averted. Well, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, that was God's plan, and it came to be. The big question we have to ask is, have we taken part of that plan? Are we prepared to meet our Maker before the great and terrible day of the Lord? Because we have turned to the Lord Jesus and trust only in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of year where we are forced to remember the coming of your Son. We give you thanks that your plans worked out perfectly, that this fellow John came and prepared the way. Thank you for that, and made it so much easier for Jesus to have his early disciples and then to proclaim your will and your way to the people that John had already touched. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so many years later, for having touched our hearts. Amen.